Tub Talk is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. Email us at tubtalk@cageclub.me with questions, criticisms, riddles, trivia, dating advice, cryptozoology, ideas for future episodes, and more. Head over to cageclub.me to check out other shows and email us tubtalk@cageclub.me. Welcome back to episode 4 of Tub Talk, 1980-1999. Top 100 songs each. Matt, ALCS update, please.
Top of the sixth inning. Two on, two out. Two and one.
Game one.
Joe Kelly, two.
Two.
Carlos Correa,
two.
High and tight, 3-1. Tight game. Tight ball game in Fenway.
Tight.
Up here now, number 40 for Mance. The only appearance by this band on this list, which I sort of surprised me. Maybe it's a little too obvious, I don't know, but Sublime with Seed.
Yeah, this is a band that I loved as a kid.
Yeah.
They haven't aged terribly well.
I thought this was No Effects.
Well, but this is a really good song. This is one of the songs I think that is aged very well.
Pool Shark was on my list, but it did not make it.
We haven't given Mance shit for this artist in couple hours. So up next, Chris Cornell preaching the end of the world. I wonder if Mance is Chris Cornell or Matt's REM, like Michael Stipe is. Like, which is greater?
I respect Matt's love of Michael Stipe. I don't feel like I get that respect back.
Look, I'm a huge Soundgarden fan, but I don't think Chris Cornell. If you were talking about trying to shove 7 Soundgarden songs on this list, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. But all this ancillary fucking, like, Chris Cornell solo.
Is there any Audio Slave on your other one?
No. This is a beautiful, great song. The song is so good that they made a movie after the song.
What?
Yeah. You tell me you
a song called Gone with the Wind.
Preaching the End of the World? I've never Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Yeah,
That was based on a newspaper article.
Yeah, but they named the movie after the lyric in the song.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I'll have you know that there is also a song called Feeling Minnesota, and I think that is also based on a Soundgarden lyric.
And that's a Keanu Reeves, Cameron Diaz movie that is
right.
Goddamn dog
shit. And Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah. It's like a post-Tarantino, like, hey, we're criminals like that are witty, like, let's make a movie, but they're...
I love this song because it's about facing the apocalypse and just wanting somebody to be there with you.
Seeking a friend for the end of the world.
Yeah.
Real Cornell.
Next up, a song that I cannot say the name of.
Fell on Black Days.
Most Def, Mr. N-Word.
Thank you.
It's called Mr. N-Word?
Yes.
That's
the verbatim. That is the verbatim name of the song.
Yeah, this is Most Def and Q-Tip. I think Black on Both Sides is another criminally underrated album. This song in particular is just as relevant now as it was back in 98, I think, was when this album came out. It's got a killer beat. Mos is on point. Q-Tip's on point.
Next up on your list, Mance. Number 37, we talked about this band before, The Smiths. Reel Around the Fountain.
Yeah, I kind of hate Morrissey.
But
this is... I like this song because it's outward focused. Like, most of Morrissey's stuff is about himself. And I like this song because it's just a really sweet love song. It's a beautiful song. I love the sentiment in the chorus. 15 Minutes With You. It's just a pretty jangly song.
I love Morrissey. He is like a racist piece of garbage, though.
Yeah.
But, you know.
He is? I
didn't even do that. Yeah, he called Chinese people a subspecies of human.
Yeah, Morrissey's a fucked up guy.
Yeah, he's garbage. Plus, there's all that England for the English shit that he's always doing.
So he's a Brexit guy?
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Last song in Mance's little batch, Temple of the Dog, Say Hello to...
No kidding!
Mance's little batch!
Temple of the Dog, no kidding.
Yeah, more Chris Cornell. So this is one
not
of
not the fucking Temple of the Dog song.
Not the one that you know. This is...
He was high-running us.
Yeah. Yeah, I go for the deep cuts. This song is about the Andrew. What's
Andy Wood?
Andy Wood, yeah, the Mother Love Bone guy. What did you say?
Andrew Cornette, the serial killer. Very strange.
Killed Versace. Of course.
I think one of the reasons I love Cornell is because he can He can do a bunch of different things. He can be a metal singer. He could be a grunge singer. And he could be an incredible blues singer like he is on this song.
There we go. More love from Mance for Chris. That's somewhat even Mance.
It's not even the last one. There's like five more.
There's more coming.
Yeah, we haven't hit any of my Soundgarden songs.
Jesus.
Our There's second... only been two songs so far.
Our second...
You have a son, are you going to name him Chris?
Our second Michael Jackson song.
Second Michael Jackson song, The Way You Make Me Feel.
Number 40. Go. Bob's List, number 40.
Great video.
Yeah, that song that just really... this is my favorite Michael Jackson song when I was a kid. And I think it's aged perfectly. What can you say about Michael Jackson that hasn't been said by every other person?
I don't know if you ever come up with something, because I've got three more times talking about Michael Jackson. So
shit.
Plus this one.
He sure didn't have sex with those kids.
You really turned me around on this. I now believe that Michael Jackson is innocent of all charges, in spite of what they found at his estate after his death.
Next
12
up.
Angry 12 Angry Boys.
A band I don't know. The Diggable Planets? Rebirth of Slick.
Rebirth of Slick, yeah.
In parentheses, cool like that.
I love this song.
Yeah, this is a very, very relaxed song that is, I don't know, it just has a vibe to it. Used successfully in the soundtrack to David Simon's show, Show Me a Hero.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Shout out Winona Ryder.
That's right, yeah. Winona Ryder, the weak link. I like to call
it. Shout out fucking,
Oscar Isaac.
Fucking Jim Belushi. He fucking rocked that shit on that show.
Yeah, but this song is great, and it is...
I know the song.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was the band or the name of the song.
Mm-hmm. This is another... I feel like this is an era and style of hip-hop that, is, that people don't talk about.
And the native tongues.
That it's, like, very... worth listening to. It's you can put it on in any situation, and it's, like, great to listen to.
Cool.
Moving along something that's not like that.
The next song, the second and final appearance by this band on this list, Protect Your Neck, Wu-Tang Clan. Anybody have any updates on who their favorite Wu-Tang member is since the last time we talked about this?
I had this on my list before I changed it to the other one.
I'd like to change my answer to Inspect a Deck.
Ooh.
I'm lying. That's not, no.
That's nobody's favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like he probably could have had an awesome solo album. I mean, maybe he does have an awesome solo album, and I've just never given him the time to look into it.
Didn't we quiz Rollins on how many Wu-Tang members he knew? Was it comically low or, like, surprisingly high?
No, it was low.
He said who? Wu-Tang?
I think he might have only gotten Method Man.
That's pretty weak.
Only because we were saying, like, you should probably be able to get, like, even like right. Most people can know, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And he just knew Method Man. And then he said Red Man, and everyone booed him.
No, he might have actually guessed Red Man.
I mean, it's not Wu-Tang Clan, though.
Right, I know. Now that I come to think about it, he might have guessed Red Man.
Red Man, Yellow Man.
This is a
Batman.
I think maybe the classic from this album. What's the classic from this album? The song Method Man is also a classic.
Cream,
sure. Maybe Cream is probably the...
Probably Cream. Probably
that's like the classic lyric.
Yeah.
At least.
Next song is the second and final appearance by this band. Again, probably in many ways. Number 37.
No, 37.
Probably the opposite of Wu-Tang. Like, just how Diggable Planets is the opposite of Wu-Tang. This is the opposite in a different way. Oasis, Slide Away off Definitely Maybe.
I think that this is on Oasis' first album, and it gets overshadowed for sure by the... hits from that album, like Live Forever, Rock and Roll Star, and Supersonic, I think is the other hit from that album, and I think that this is the best song that Oasis has ever made. And there is also an excellent acoustic version that is just Noel singing, which an interesting thing that you can do with Oasis is you can find most of their songs with just Noel singing instead of Liam, and most of them are just as good. Maybe this is not I don't know.
This next song is a song that we talked about before. It was on Mance's list.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sexiest song ever written. Maybe.
Massive Star.
I want to hold the hand inside you. Right? That's the first line.
Is that a metaphor?
I think it's like, I think you can take it. I think it's a stink. You can stink fist it if you want. But I think it's more like, I want to like touch your soul. Fist it if I want. Yeah, you fucker. Yeah, Massive Star is great. They're one of those bands that, like, if there were any justice in the world, they would be much, much more famous than they are.
You know they put out an EP this year?
Really?
It's pretty good. It's only 4 songs, but it's good.
I should listen to that.
Yeah, you should.
Is that it for this batch for me?
Yes.
But Matt is peeing. You can hear him pee, probably.
Here we are for Matt's top 40 songs of the 80s and the 90s. Number 40. Accidentally played it before while we were eating dinner in between episodes. Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer.
Yeah, you don't fuck with this song. I mean, like, it's just, this was on that drive up to Yankee Stadium where I was hauling ass up the turnpike. This shit came on.
Drive for you.
Loud as fuck. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this was one that, like, when you're putting the list together early, you're like, alright, think about the classic, like, Sledgehammer is probably out there somewhere. And I listened to it thinking, like, alright, let's determine how far down the list it is. And I listened to it, I'm like, you know what? This could be like top 25 possible. Like it's just fucking awesome. But here we sit on at 40, which
I regret not putting this on my list. This would probably.
Yeah, it smacks.
I would not bump off the Cheers theme for it though. I would replace something else.
Yeah, it's not on either of your lists.
No,
I didn't think of it. It probably would be.
Bob, is there any version of your list that does not have the Cheers theme on it?
Yeah, the one that had All I Want for Christmas Is You was, like, that was originally song 100, and then I was, like, watching TV, and Cheers came on, and I was just like, that's it. Bam, my head exploded.
There we go.
I like the Cheers theme as 100. I think that was the right call. Alright, next song is another pavement song.
Cut Your Hair.
Just the one. From that time. And, well, my favorite thing about this is that, like, during the golden age of SportsCenter, when they would have those songs that were like indie hits, but recorded by, like, the little SportsCenter, like, house band, like, playout music, there was very clearly a version of this on SportsCenter, like, every other episode.
They also had
the commercial.
There was a Smells Like Teen Spirit version, too, yeah.
And it just, like, that just was what it was. No one ever, like, gave a shit about that. It was never mentioned. Back in the good old SportsCenter days, man.
Kenny Mayne days. We're revisiting once again my favorite album.
Yeah. I think this is my last...
Release. Okay, computer.
My last one. Radiohead. My last Radiohead song, I believe.
Radiohead will come back a few more times, at least.
Yeah, for y'all. Yeah, that's it for me. And, like, again... Doesn't mean it's my favorite, but it's just very good. Has a lot of very good, like, the reason I wound up putting this one on is because it has a lot of very good parts. Like, there's like 3 different parts to this song, and they're all really cool.
Well,
each one, like,
is that
more about that later with Radiohead?
Is that true, or is that not true? You think of Paranoid Android? Because Paranoid Android is like the.
Well, I had that on here first. I replaced it with this because. For a minute there, I lost myself. Is one of my favorite lyrics.
Can I say also, like, live?
Yeah.
And, like, I've seen him, and I know that you have too. Like, I've seen him just do that for a minute there, I've lost myself. Yeah. Like,
they'll finish playing it.
Just him singing
it
and the whole crowd singing.
Yeah.
And it's like, shit's like one of those in concert moments.
And the rest of the band leaves the stage and just Tom and you and just everybody singing to that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you can, like, feel your blood going into your.
It's a great line. Of that great all-time line of this span of time we're talking about.
Yeah.
Next up, the first iteration, but not the last, of this band, Metallica, Seek and Destroy.
Nice.
Kill 'Em All. The only Metallica album I like.
This is my favorite Metallica album.
Yeah.
And this may also, like, depending on
Whiplash.
this whole album is awesome, and I would also possibly open a song. Remember we were talking about, like, what would open a 1-minute YouTube video called music from the 1980s? Yeah. Like, if this was about maybe, like, metal, like that opening riff may be the one that I would say that's the riff of the 80s.
Is Battery on this album? Or is that a Master of
Puppets? No. That's That's
Is that on Injustice for All, maybe?
Yeah, Batteries is Injustice. The first song on there.
This album rules because it's basically a Megadeth album. Because it's Dave Mustaine on guitar and vocals. So before then, he got kicked out of the band.
Yeah, nah, but see, but no, like more like Peace or Killing's My Business is like a Metallica album. I think it's more accurate because like this shit doesn't really sound like Megadeth. You know what I mean? Like Dave Mustaine was the guitar player, but like where he took Megadeth is pretty different. Like it's way faster than this shit. Metallica was heavier maybe. Not as technical, just like more like beer drinking music than Dave Mustaine was doing. Even though Dave Mustaine was drinking the most beer out of all of them. Anyway, I fucking love this song.
Next up, last in Matt's grouping right here, Tom Petty, The Heartbreakers, the first of The Heartbreakers, Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Another one of those songs that I just like can't, like, too many memories of this music video being on, yeah. Like, watching it in my basement, like, coming to or going, coming from something, which is always on, and it's, I don't know, it's just great, it's like, I get why people love the Eagles so much, because, like, this sort of song...
I do not.
And
fuck the Eagles.
But I can see someone thinking this song was kind of like for, you know, maybe not be digging this song, but I think it's fucking awesome. And plus, it's about weed.
Is it?
Yeah.
Last Dance with Mary Jane.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I am a lame dad.
One more time to kill the pain.
Tom Petty liked marijuana. That's a thing. He seems to talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. He wasn't like Willie Nelson type of guy. Well,
Who among us is Willie Nelson?
From Gainesville, Florida. He likes to smoke a joint and drink a few beers and, I don't know, look at the bats.
But to go back to the Tom Petty greatest hits album.
That's how you know we are 5 hours into this. Because not only was that a point, but no one knew how to respond to that.
How many Tom Petty songs are secretly about bats?
Well, Free Falling's a natural fit, right?
I mean, there's some shit in there about vampires, for sure.
Crack the egg on him.
All right. Top 35. We're almost in the top third.
Hell yeah.
Tom Ants, number 35, another Smashing Pumpkins song, Tonight. Tonight.
Yeah, this is the obvious song, but it's a great song. A 1979 probably should have made my list. That, in hindsight, that's probably a mistake. But the military beat with drums and the, you know, the sweeping orchestra, this is... He sought out to write a home run song with this one, like an all-time epic historic song, and he pulled it off, which is a tough thing to do, and it also has a badass music video.
Yeah, this was on my list for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then... Like, you have to hold it up against 1979, I feel like, because they're just very similar.
Yeah.
And that one, to me, just is the one.
Yeah, fair enough.
Exactly what you said, but it could have been the other one.
Yeah.
Next up is a song, is a band that we've talked about a handful of times tonight, has not made the list, will not make the list again, Unplugged, Down in a Hole by Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
I did a specific audit of Alice in Chains to get him on here, and I couldn't get him in.
I had four or five songs that at one point were contenders to make the list. This like the Nirvana Unplugged album, like I'm a big Alice in Chains fan, but I like the acoustic versions of all their songs better than the Electric Counterbirds. It's just such a dark album, the Unplugged album.
You know, I'm not really a fan, but it, like I remember when I was like a teenager and a little bit younger, like Alice in Chains specifically like made me feel bad when I listened to them. Like I would listen to them and feel bad.
Yeah, this is a...
And like, I think that's exactly what they're going for.
Oh, sure.
So, like, they're a great band, even though I don't particularly like them. Like, I think they're achieving exactly the aesthetic that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Hats off to them.
Did you say pants off?
Either one. I said hats off, but you can take it however you want to take it. Next up is a song I think we've talked about before.
Shirts off.
The Replacements, Unsatisfied.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's on here.
Higher on that, but...
I thought about
Is this our first overlap?
No.
No.
I don't think
you
so.
You have seven songs in common.
Yeah. I could have done I Will Dare. I could have done Answering Machine, Bastards of Young, but I don't know. I picked this one.
There you go. This next song I feel like might be one that makes people regret not adding to their list. I don't know. Return of the Mac, Mark Morrison. Maybe? Maybe not.
Yeah. Just another really good party song.
I feel like that's sort of like... There's a couple different vibes to this list. There's the Pacific Northwest of the early 90s vibe to this list. We've got the party songs that nobody's bothered by vibe. And we got a couple other. But like, I feel like this is one of those where just... That's, you don't think about it, but then you remember. Like, oh, shit, man, this is a great song.
It's got that Tom Tom Club sample. Doop, doop,
doop. The Tom Tom Club not on anybody's list?
No.
Nope.
That is going to be the theme song for the two Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks podcasts that we're going to do next year, though. So, that song.
Are you doing a Tom Cruise combo Tom Hanks podcast?
It's two podcasts, but it's the same, or we're alternating them, so it's basically the same thing, but different feeds.
I like it. The Tom Tom Club.
Tom Toms.
I'll also say, regarding this song, there's a Netflix, a Seth Rogen Netflix special that he did last year.
Hilarity for Charity?
Yes. And at the end, it is pretty funny. But at the end, they bring out Post Malone, who, you know, whatever about Post Malone. But Post Malone and Craig Robinson from The Office perform this song, and it is damn good.
Well, Craig Robinson is remarkably talented.
And Post, you know, he can sing. He's got a cool voice. So.
Do you guys like Hot Tub Time Machine?
No.
No.
You don't like that fucking... No. What do you think of that movie?
I don't know that I've ever seen it.
You don't need to.
No, you do need to. It's really, funny.
I do love Clark Duke.
It's really, if you love, my brother fucking loves Clark Duke too. It's weird. I don't get that guy. But who the fuck is the ball? Rob Corddry is really funny in it, and John Cusack's the main guy. So it's like, but my favorite like whole concept from it is that Craig Robinson's also in it, and they go. I won't spoil anything to tell you that they go back in time. The fucking point of the movie, but like. His whole thing of going back in time is pretending to write all these, like, hits from now. So he just goes back in time and he's like, this is the one I wrote. And it's like, let's get retarded. And he's, like, super famous for, like, pretending to write, like, you know, like, fucking Black Eyed Peas songs. It's really... Don't listen to these guys. That movie's fucking hilarious. And so is 2. They're both good.
I'll watch it.
All right.
First and only appearance on this list, number 31, Deftones, Be Quiet and Dry, Far Away.
They're the best of the new metal bands. I mean, that's not a high bar to clear. But they had, like, that the metal sound, but also, like, kind of a new wavy...
System of a Down?
They're better than System of a Down.
Okay. I don't really have a dog in my
No further questions.
Chino's got a great voice. They just had a different vibe to them. They were like, that new wave kind of gothy Cure sound with the new metal... this song's got... I love the way it's produced. It's got a lot of, like, space in it.
Remember when they kept covering Weezer songs?
Yeah, I do, actually.
That was pretty cool.
Fugazi? No, Deftones.
So the vocals are coming in
covering Weezer songs?
They're Fugazi covering Weezer songs. Sorry, Tom. Say what you were saying.
No, I just love... I love that, like, he's got this... He's got, like, a crooning kind of voice behind the brutality of this music.
Yeah, he's got a good voice. Yeah. I like it.
Moving on to Bob, number 35, someone we talked about both solo and as a group. We've got Morrissey with Every Day is Like Sunday.
Like I said, I love Morrissey. I like this song because it's, like, kind of about getting blown up by an atomic bomb. It's definitely the best of his solo stuff, but I think better than all of the Smiths stuff, too. And you can also hear Colin Molloy cover it on his weird Colin Molloy Covers Morrissey album.
Yeah.
But yeah, this album rules. And it's part of it is that specificity in lyrics to the situation. It's very good. I think everyone should listen to it. If you like Morrissey, I can see how he can sound like a whiny dick fuck. Let's go on to Doo-Wop, That Thing by Lauryn Hill.
This will show up on Mance's list in a little while.
Lauryn Hill, who I am going to suggest here, is the most underrated rapper of all time.
nobody ranks Lauryn Hill on any of their top
it looks
rappers
like
list.
Mance would want to agree with you, but he's too busy mouthing along to the oohs and ahs at the beginning.
Well, also, I think she's underrated as a rapper because people think of her as a singer.
Yeah. That,
right?
No, that's 100%.
But she's like one of the few people who can do both and is like incredible at both.
I'm Nina Simone defecating on your microphone.
Yeah, and I think she also created this paradigm that is unfortunate, which says that like female rappers have to sing as well, because like you get a lot of female rappers end up singing on their records, and most people are not Lauryn Hill. So, you know, she's also the best Fuji, which says a lot, because they're three incredibly talented people. We'll see more of Lauryn Hill later.
Yeah. Next up, this is I think it's a one-hit wonder. I think it's fair to say. Also, inextricably linked to a movie. Cruel Intentions.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I feel a little bit cheesy.
I took this song off today.
Yeah.
Had it on today.
I wanted to put this song on.
Yeah, so then this is a little too high for you guys.
No, I had it like this high. I took it like from my 30s to off.
It has a sense. I think that the 80s and 90s, the 90s more than the 80s, like sort of walked away from epic things. Mm-hmm. And this song like really embraces the idea of being epic. And the chorus, which I don't even, is it I can change or I can't change? Either way is heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
I
heard his aunt.
I thought
can't.
It was
amped. But again, that's the 90s angst.
No change, I can't change.
No change, I can't change.
Yeah, it's very sad, right?
Yeah. Did it lose any points for just being a straight ripoff?
No,
of
I don't
that
care.
Fucking,
I don't care about that.
Because I really like just that track on its own, too. And it sort of sapped a little bit of this song for me.
Just I don't know. Like, I like a million hip-hop songs that are just
some
other things.
I get it.
This next song... Apologies again to Matt for ripping one off of very high up on his list. Opening chord, you gonna give it away?
Sure.
Say It Ain't So by Weezer.
So
is this the first Weezer song?
Yeah.
I want to say that there are actually three Weezer songs that were not this song that were originally on the list, because I wanted to like represent Weezer, and it was Undone, which I think is like the most, the purest and best collaboration.
Is that the sweater song?
Yeah. The purest and best collaboration between Matt and Rivers, and that song is also funny. It has like a sense of humor to it, mm-hmm. And Butterfly, which I think is like the culmination of actually Rivers as a a lyricist. Big eyes there, Matt.
We've had a conversation about Butterfly.
It was a question in the tub. It was like you get a multiple choice poll for the whole league, and it was just what's your favorite Weezer song. And there weren't enough. There were literally like 19, you put 19 or whatever. And it was every song of the first two albums that I was able to list as an option, except Butterfly. And I just put, well, nobody's favorite song is Butterfly.
But you replaced it with Jamie. It wasn't an issue.
Well, that's true. I did. Yeah, you're right.
I think Butterfly is beautiful in a way that is like and personal in a way that was something that he did on those first two albums like sometimes, but that song seems particularly like
if I'm a dog then you're a bitch.
Yeah, smell you on my hand for days. Like a very and then the third one was World Has Turned and Left Me Here. But I think that this like because I think all of those songs do different things, and then this song kind of does all of those things at the same time. And that's why
Butterfly to me like it couldn't be someone's favorite Weezer song because it's not what they do.
It's like the best Rivers solo project.
Yeah, sure, yeah, right,
yeah. So I think that's I know that Matt will have more to say about this later then. So
yeah. Not the first and only appearance on the list by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Into My Arms.
Yeah, I had to play this fucking song the other day at my dad's memorial service. I don't know what to say about this song other than that it breaks my heart. It is like Nick Cave at his most vulnerable, which is rare for Nick Cave, right? He's like kind of a misanthrope in the Warren Zevon mold of things, and this song is just like him being like very open about wanting to like protect someone who is in pain, and that's it. That's all for Nick Cave. It's a good funeral song, though.
Is this the only Nick Cave song in our lists?
Yes.
No red right hand out of anybody, huh?
That's not in my top ten, Nick Cave. So, I mean, I really love Nick Cave. I mean, there's all sorts of, like, all the songs on Murder Ballads. He's great. I love him.
There we go. Matt, top 35. Second, I think?
Second instance of this
by
band.
This band. Final one, also. Race Good. For the Prize, Flaming Lips.
Right where they belong, I think. Mm-hmm. 35.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you feel like you're standing on a tropical beach, but the sky is like is like space. I don't know, it's just like super fun. It's just super like cosmic in a sandy way.
And that's perfect. unlike
being cosmic in a what did I say last time? A wooden way.
The woods. Yeah.
Yes, don't be cosmic in a wooden way.
This is a cosmic in a sandy way.
Yeah.
But yeah. Again, like one of my personal heroes in my life is Ernest Shackleton, and he's quoted as saying he led his men through an expedition to the South Pole where their ship was crushed by the ice, and they just like made their way back on a tiny little like raft after being there for a year throughout the winter, and his whole philosophy, he's like, you know, he says optimism is true moral courage. And I thought that was such it didn't make sense at first, but like I thought that was such a nice way to think about it. Like, in the face of everything that's fucked up, like if you can be happy all the time, then you're a hero. And I feel like that's what this song sounds like, and I feel like that's like Wayne Coyne's whole thing, where he's just like, you know, just it's all fucked up and it's all so funny and fun. Like, just have fun and like keep your eye on the prize and just like remember to have fun.
That's beautiful. That like makes me want to go listen to the Flaming Lips, right? Like what you just said.
I'm not even a huge Flaming Lips fan, like, but I'll say like this album and Yoshimi and At War for the Mystics, I think, is one of the most underrated albums of the 2000s.
Album.
I fucking love almost every song on that album. But yeah, this one just is so, it's just so fun.
Battling heroin addiction, bad time.
But making it look like pretty fun.
Bad time.
Battle heroin addiction. Bad time.
Thumbs down heroin.
Next up, Roxy Music. More Than This.
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah! Just 80s in a song.
I had this on my list until the very last second. I should have kept it on.
This whole era in a song. It's weird because it's like before our time, just by a little bit. But, like, I feel like there's some kind of, like, aftershock of this vibe that I understand a little bit just because our parents were, like, having us at this time.
Yeah. Beautiful chorus.
And just that 80s, like, you know, just sad pops. Like you know, doo-wop's great because it's sad music. Sad popular music that you can dance to. And, like, so is this, only they up the ante on, like, making it actually sound sad. Like, it straight up sounds sad, but you still want to, like, kind of, like, dance to it with, like...
Yeah, this is real, like, high school reunion music.
Yeah. You make out to this song, cry to this song.
Yeah.
You could, like, just kind of, like, thrash to this song a little bit. Maybe not to thrash. Like, hop around. You know,
I was with
hop around
you
a little bit.
You lost me.
We used to push the furniture out of the room, throw fucking Roxy Music on the stereo and just thrash the place.
Next two songs from Matt, both ones we talked about already.
Another one that this could be, like, this could be the number one song.
The Smiths, How Soon Is Now, and then
right?
Mother
had
My Dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
both of those two. Like, when I hear that, every time I hear this song, maybe it should be a little higher. But, like, I also don't really like the Smiths that much. So, like, it's just kind of a one-off song for me, which I guess holds it back. But if I was more into Morrissey, this would probably be, like...
I am the son. you cannot...
You gotta have some kind of balls to fucking get this song out there.
I am the son.
I am the son, and I'm human, and I want to be, like, just those two sentiments in the same song. You get why those motherfuckers are moping around in jackets and hair in their eyes and shit. Like, hard to deny.
And then Mother.
Then you had a guy with no shirt and fucking mad chest hair coming out and saying, just fucking, you know, be an idiot.
eat metal.
You got anything to say about Mother?
Eat metal.
Oh, the eat metal?
It's cosmic, but in a metal
No, way. This is not cosmic. But I fucking love Danzig. And,
What is this song? Is it, he's like people complained about his lyrics, and he's like, fuck you, fight me, mother of children who like
pretty my... Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty, like, strange thing for a dude to do.
Yeah.
Like, how like, weak-willed... Like, I love Danzig, so I'm not attacking him, but how like, weak-willed do you have to just be like... Oh, like your parents are telling you not to listen to my music. Fuck you! I'm gonna write a song.
It's like but to be fair,
diss track of moms.
Yeah, yeah. But what is it? 1988. Like that was like Nancy Reagan. Like mothers against all this shit. Yeah.
Like, I had this tape. I thought I had it when it first came out, but I must have been. I must not have gotten it to like 95.
Yeah.
Like I get it. I mean, like he's an idiot. He's fucking stupid. But like. My biggest beef, like I said before, is just the way it's recorded. It's like, so there's like, you can't hear the bass. And just like, not that I wanted to ever re-record it, but
just get Steve Albini on it.
Yeah. He would never fucking see it.
Last song.
I think I don't have shit to say. I'm not wasting my time recording his fucking song.
Last song of this grouping, first, and I mean, this is the only time nobody else, not on Matt's list,
nobody else has this song.
Welcome to the Jungle.
You just can't fuck with it.
Like, Roses.
You know, again, I could totally see how it gets the Smells Like Teen Spirit treatment. Mm-hmm. But, like I feel like Smells Like Teen Spirit is not... Like, I like so many Nirvana songs so much more. I think there's so many better songs that they've written. But, like, I think this song is so good that it might be their best song, too, and the most played one.
Also, I mean, track one, side one of the first album.
Talk about a mission statement.
Yeah.
And again, like, a vocal performance for all time. The vocal track on this is fucking, it shreds. Hips swinging, you can fucking...
And the video, he's got that,
taste
that,
his
that
hips.
Snake hip dance in the video.
Fucking shunna-na-na-na-na-na knees. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I want to hear you scream.
Alright guys, we are in the top 30.
Fuck yeah.
90 songs left. Some lap, some cross over, some don't.
Oh shit.
First up, The Roots featuring Erykah Badu, You Got Me, Mance number 30.
I think, you know, I totally agree with what you said about Lauryn Hill being an underrated rapper. I feel the same way about Black Thought.
Oh yeah.
Black Thought's an incredible rapper who's completely underrated. And this album is Things Fall Apart is in my opinion their best album, because it's the mix of that kind of like soulquarian movement that like them and Rafael Sadiq and all those guys were part of, and like the hip hop side of it. And Badu's got an awesome voice, and together her and Black Thought are great, and Quest Beat kicks ass now.
Anything else on The Roots? I think that might be this might be the only Roots song on the entire.
I like almost had that Tyrone song on here. Erykah Badu. But
did anybody have the Seed 2.0 on their other
era
list?
That's gonna work because I'm pushing it right. That's
yeah.
Is that their biggest hit? That's probably their biggest hit, right?
Yep.
That's weird.
That is such a weird. That whole album.
A great
weird.
Song though.
Yeah.
Next up. Yeah. Very different. Cult of Personality by Living Color.
And hey, we talked about this one. Yeah. That's the only one I knew was on your list somewhere.
Yeah.
This is a great song.
I've heard this on rock radio since the time I was like 6, and I still love this song. I still think it's incredible.
It encouraged me to wear a wetsuit fashionably.
Shout out to these guys, you know, for Vernon Reid's one of the best guitar players of the era. His voice is great. I don't know. It's just a song that has stuck with me, and I love it as much now as I did when I was 7.
Do they have other good stuff, or is it just this?
I don't know.
I think it's just this. Yeah. I had this album, and
I think
really
I tried to
much.
Listen to other Living Color, and it's like, this is far and away the best song.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need more than
they,
that.
They left a tour with Guns N' Roses because of the song One in a Million.
So almost canceled Guns N' Roses, did cancel Living Color.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Also canceled the show in Living Color with Jim Carrey. One in a Million, Rampage.
Yeah, true. I don't know. What are we?
Wait, the sketch comedy show?
Yeah, I've lost the thread here. Have,
what? He's doing jazz. He's just improvising.
Well, Living Color.
Follow.
Living
yes color. And yes and.
Yeah, but this was COLOUR, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's yes. Also not doesn't have the word in it, but you know, right. Just stick with it. Next up, by Jim Eat World.
Why did they spell it that way?
Are these guys fucking from Canada or something?
Jim Eat World.
I don't know.
Jim Eat World.
James Eat World.
For me, this is
yeah,
heaven.
Yeah, this is my emo side. This is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Clarity? Is this Clarity?
Yeah, this is Clarity. I know you guys would...
This is your like top band of all time, right?
No, but one of my top albums. This is really the only album by them that I really like.
I like Bleed American.
Bleed American's a good album, too. But this
that's
is their...
That's all the middle on it?
Yeah. This is their, like...
That was banned after 9/11.
Defining statement. Yeah, they made it a self-titled album.
Americans don't bleed, motherfucker! Fuck you!
I think this is an album that gets better with time. I think it sounds a lot better now than it did when it came out. I think it's influenced a whole generation of bands, a whole generation of really good bands, and just I think it's just an underrated album. It's got great instrumentation, really good songwriting.
So here is the next song. I'm going to have to apologize to both Bob and Matt for taking the wind out of their sails. This is another one of the three-song crossovers. Talking Heads, This Must Be the Place.
I figured this was going to be
this is number 30, shit. Or 20, 27 for Mance. Very, very, very high for both the other guys.
I'll let one of the other guys talk about it. I'll just say I just love the vibe. I love the air in it. It sounds like it's got like a breeze flowing through it.
It's David Byrne at his lyrical best, too.
Alright, we'll skip it for now because we'll come back in a big way later. Last one in this grouping, Interstate Love Song by STP.
Yeah, I think you called this the Freebird.
No, you called this the Freebird.
No, you called it. You called it.
Or you both called it.
I mean, Freebird is the Freebird of our time.
This is just it's just a good-ass rock song. I don't know. In hindsight, I probably would have put this lower. I probably should have put this lower. But I feel like out of all of the rock songs from the 90s, like, this is probably going to be the one that you'll hear in drunken bar sing-alongs for the rest of our lives.
I don't think I ever hear this song, like, anymore.
Really?
In public. Yeah.
Do you hear any STP songs in public anymore? Not really, right?
Well, maybe like, you'll hear that on the radio
really?
Every now and again. Yeah, or like...
More than this?
Yeah.
I would think that sex type thing.
Vaseline's probably up there too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Vaseline almost made my list as well.
Interstate Love Song? Or no?
Sex type thing. I think Sex type thing is a song that plays differently in these times.
Yes.
Yeah. This song to me is kind of like Silverchair in that, like, it just didn't come out of the era intact for me. Like, I dig it a lot, and I loved it when it was happening. But it just didn't, like. I think it's because of the types of like bands that came out in the wake of him and the way he sings, and like kind of like Alice in Chains too, like all that Creed shit was like all,
yeah.
Rah, rah, like all that. Like yeah. Now that just doesn't like.
Yeah, he's a victim of shittier bands.
Yeah. Yeah, and that sucks for them. But like,
yeah,
I mean, then I'm Nirvana too, man.
Yeah, you can't let.
But
that
it didn't happen in Nirvana to me as far as like it didn't. Nirvana's profile isn't lowered because I feel like Nirvana wrote a lot better songs.
Yeah.
Like STP, are there any good STP lyrics?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I don't know.
The lyrics of this song aren't good.
No.
They're not memorable at least.
Yeah. One thing I'll say in their favor is that they out of all those bands evolved from album to album, at least on the first three albums, in ways that none of the other ones did, and that the first one was like a very like kind of paint by numbers grunge, you know, Seattle album, even though they weren't a Seattle band. And then you know, the second album, Purple, had more of a like classic rock Led Zeppelin influence, and then they became like a glam rock Bowie band on Tiny Music. And they all sounded great. That's a pretty impressive.
Also, theme. I think of that era, I think Weiland is, and you might be able to make a Cornell argument here, but But Weiland is.
I like Chris Cornell.
He might be able to make a Cornell argument.
I think he's the best, most charismatic frontman and the best showman.
I think that definitely goes to
Weiland. As far as a live artist is concerned.
I mean, I know a dude who thinks Scott Weiland is like the greatest rock and roll man of all time, and like I assume there's a lot of people who feel that way.
And we did the Mudslide stuff to him and
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, a band that didn't.
Oh, that's true. Any on your list?
No, but there were a couple songs in contention.
So we talked all the way through Interstate Love Song.
We did. Yeah. A song that is very, or a band that is very clearly on all of your lists a whole lot.
Is this for me?
Bob, number 30, Be Mine, R.E.M., New Adventures in Hi-Fi.
Oh, R.E.M., huh?
Yeah, New Adventures in Hi-Fi. I came by this song by thinking that it was a Radiohead song. Because there is a version of this song that Tom York sings. I downloaded it on Napster, and I couldn't find it. I did internet sleuthing, found out it was an R.E.M. song, went to Soundwave, bought this album, and so this song is my real entry point into R.E.M.
Wait, wow. This isn't Tom York singing?
This is R.E.M. song.
That doesn't sound like Michael Stipe that much.
And the guitar is kind of early Radiohead, too.
Totally. Yeah. Yep.
And which means that, you know, Radiohead is early, you know, I think they take a lot from this era.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It just fucking rules. This song is awesome. And this song, I don't think, really shows up on anybody's R.E.M. lists when they talk about, like, what their favorite R.E.M. songs are, which is a shame, because I think it's awesome.
That's great. Yeah.
Next up is the first of two appearances by this one guy who will be Matt's first song in the next batch, Suicidal Thoughts, Notorious B.I.G.
I think that Biggie is a great lyricist, and this song is really dark, and it's dark in a way that is, like, introspective, a way that a lot of songs weren't at the time, and, you know, it's about, you know, having emotional problems and shit like that, which is not necessarily typical of hip-hop. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of this, it's not like braggadocio, right? It's like, you know, talking about how much you suck and how much you hate your life. Fuck yeah.
Next up.
Suicidal Thoughts.
Grandmaster Flash and Furious 5, White Lines.
Oh, shit.
28.
I mean, just this beginning, right?
Yeah.
Some of the shit. I mean, it's possible that someone else in here has the message.
No, I think this is the only Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Belongs on here.
Early political hip-hop. And it sounds dated, kind of. I mean, it's definitely of an era. But I think it's sort of undeniable. Right? This is an undeniable song, right?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, next up, another one of the... there's a chance that most of this album is like just evenly dispersed across all your lists. Guns N' Roses, Paradise City.
Paradise City is a song that I understand. Like, I have the same thing with this that Matt has with Welcome to the Jungle. I think it's possible that people are sick of this song.
Doesn't matter. Fuck them.
It passes the car tests in a way that very few songs do. You turn this up real loud and drive real fast. Put the windows down. Slash is so fucking awesome on this song. It doesn't really sound like other stuff from that era. The lyrics are really weird. Like very bizarre.
The structure's pretty weird too. Like this.
Yeah. And I remember when Slash was on Howard Stern one time, he said, "I thought that was gay. Take me down to the Paradise City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. I wanted the lyrics to be, take me down to Paradise City where the girls are fat and they got big titties."
Much different song. Much different song.
Think about Guns N' Roses' legacy. Is this song still a hit?
Or does this cancel Guns N' Roses?
No.
But of course not.
I don't think the song's a hit. Those are the lyrics, though.
All right. Next up, 26 for Bob. Your Mouth Into Mine by Black
Your
Francis.
Your Mouth Into Mine, solo Black Francis. I don't know if you guys know this song. It is very 90s. It's And that's super Black Francis, right? Going, hey! In the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, it's just a solid rock song.
Cool. Sounds like Kids in the Hall.
Yeah. Could be Kids in the Hall.
All right, now, Matt, you're top 30. You already sort of teased this. Hypnotize.
No, I just
made the B.I.G. Number 30 for you.
This song was wedged into my completed list because I was like, I got no fucking hip-hop on this thing. This is embarrassing. So, like, I listened through and I was like, well, of the Biggie songs that make me the happiest when they come on in the club, like, I just love the fucking beat. It's so fucking, like, slinky.
I like that you went in, like, sort of, like, the exact opposite direction as I did on Biggie. Because I also, like, earlier version of this, I had Juicy on it, which is the opposite of Suicidal Thoughts, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, you get those two sides of it.
Yeah, this song just seems like... Like... It's not just about being awesome. It's just fucking, like, there could be no lyrics and you'd be like, oh, that guy's cool. Like, that guy's the best rapper. He said nothing the whole time. Dumb. It's just fucking menacing and fucking, like, buoyant at the same time. I love it.
So what you say is that people would look at this song and say that this is where it's at.
Damn right.
Beck, where it's at. Odelay.
Also one of my favorite lyrics of the era. Bottles and cans, just clap your hands and just clap your hands. Like that. Because I had this conversation with Lisa before. Like, recycling only got popular in the 90s, right? like, do you remember being a kid and people being like, ah, fuck it. Like, fuck. Like when recycling... was it just that we went to school and it was like, that's the part of school where you learn about recycling? I don't think so. I think it was like, all right, in this country, or at least here, now, we do this thing called recycling, and you take your things that can be reused. So, like,
it was the Al Gore, I think.
Yeah, right. It was the start of, like, don't, you know, start to think about
it. It was the Al Gore.
The Al Gore effect. I meant to add the effect at the end.
Al Gore.
So this is an Al Gore rhythm.
I remember
this is an Al Gore rhythm
by Team Discovery.
By Team Discovery now.
Shout out D.
Well, three.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom and I are the other members of that.
Yeah. Band. Oh, I don't know about that.
Bob's role in that band was naming the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a band member.
You came up with Al Gore rhythms.
Yeah, and I named the songs, and you play drums, right?
I play drums.
And don't play guitar and sing. Yeah. I didn't do anything else.
You're the Bernie Taupin of the group.
Yeah, as I am in most groups. I like to think of myself as the Bernie Taupin of this group.
But yeah, Beck is the guy. He's the guy.
That also, he invented recycling. So, how do you not love him?
So you could say this song was funded by the government.
You could say that when he wanted to recycle, he wanted to be starting something. Third Michael Jackson song.
Strong enough.
Thriller, again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is because you can't put anything from Off the Wall on this list.
Yeah.
So this is Off the Wall here in spirit.
Cool.
Everyone knows this song. This next one is the one that...
Another.
This is the one that took me the clearest path in. This is the one that I heard, and I was just like, yep, there it is. I'll listen to all that. I'll do all that every day.
Silence Kid by Pavement.
Silent Kid.
Well, yeah, it's that stupid Malcolmist shit where it's called Silence Kid, and, like, the lyrics are Silent Kid or right. Silence Kit. Like just all that stupid, like not quite the same word shit that they do. But, like, that's what I love about, like, especially, like, the way they name songs and, like, all those, like, reissues they did. Like, you know, like, Sordid Sentinels and just, like, weird wordplay shit. I love it. It's funny. But my favorite thing about Pavement is how sloppy the drumming is. Because I was like, I just got my drum set back then, and I was like, oh, you can just play, like, you can just feel lazy and do it, like, slow and sloppy, and it sounds really cool. And I was like, yeah, that's great. I don't have to try that hard. Like, it'd be good. And I just love, like, there's a few fills. I don't even know if they're in this particular song, but there's just a couple fills in the first couple albums that are just slow, like, just fucking, like, laziest
drumming ever, and it sounds so cool.
Last song in this grouping. Apologies to another one that's going to come up
these
later.
Two bands
really
are
high for another
hand
another
in hand
person.
In my heart.
Weezer, the world
hand
has turned
hand
left
in
here.
In my heart.
Anything to say about this song, or are we going to save it for later when it comes
up
very high?
I'll save it
for
later if someone else has it higher, but I'll just say, like, I'll be interested to see how this song is received in, like, 20 years.
That's some of the best lyrics that Rupert ever wrote.
Yeah.
All right, back to Mance here for the top 25. Number 25. We've got to find the song that we've talked about before.
Top 25.
Bob had on his list before.
Okay.
Welcome back to Tub Talk.
I'm your host.
We should be doing this in the hot tub.
Oh yeah. The only thing I'll add to Bob's analysis of the song is that it's a hip hop song that successfully pulls off a harmonica hoedown bridge.
Yeah.
Which is special.
Very special.
Also, Rosa Parks sued them over this song, I believe.
Did she win?
Really? I don't know. No, probably not. I don't know.
Yeah, why could she? How could she win?
I don't know.
Alright.
I don't know. Next song. Refused.
Yeah,
New
Bob.
Noise.
I'm surprised you don't have this on your list.
Yeah, it made a lot of different iterations of it, but it didn't make the final.
Okay, so quick story. The first time I heard this song, I was homesick from school one day watching MTV in the middle of the day. And the VJ introduced it, talking about how this band had, it was the first single off their new album, The Shape of Punk to Come. And at the time, I was big into punk, but I was into, like, the Epitaph records, like the Bad Religion and the Pennywise and all that stuff. So that was my idea of punk. And when this video came on, it, like, blew my fucking dick off, because it is not at all what I had imagined whenever I thought of the word punk, but it is just a ridiculously great album. And we broke Bob and I broke a ceramic raccoon to this song in our dorm room one
threw
year.
That shit against the wall, because we were so excited.
Can I scream?
Yeah.
Next song
this
is...
This part's weird, though, isn't it?
What?
Oh, I can definitely see breaking ceramic squirrels to this, absolutely.
Alright.
Next song is first and only by a band that we've talked about multiple times before, Given the Fly, Pearl Jam, off Yields.
Yeah, this is Pearl Jam's best album.
Better than 10?
Yes, I think people kind of lost track of them, outside of, like, their diehard fans lost track of them after Vitalogy, and they just consider, like, those first two albums their best. I think Yield is their best. This is an awesome song.
You know what that sounded like? Way by my window, I see it there. Like, isn't that a filter?
Yeah, you take my picture.
Yeah, it sounded just like that. It's me out here. Right?
Okay.
Maybe.
I saw a filter of the Stone Pony. They had a technical difficulty in the middle of the set, left the stage for 25 minutes, and just left the stand.
Anyone got Hey Man Nights shot
no,
on this?
No, almost.
No fun fact about Parks and Rec, it's canon that Andy Dwyer is Bud Dwyer's son.
Oh, shit.
No, that's not true. Come on. You guys know who Bud Dwyer is?
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Okay. Dylan showed me that video in college.
Oh, yeah.
Of a man shooting himself in the face.
On national television, or local television. Next up is a song that Bob had on his list, Doo-Wop, That Thing, Ms. Lauryn Hill.
I got nothing to add. Lauryn Hill is a queen.
Yeah, she fucking rules.
I don't know how to pronounce this next one, the Sigur Rós song.
Starofleur.
Starofleur.
Wait, is that is in the 90s?
Yeah, that's on their first album.
That's 99, though?
Agitis Björgin, or however you're supposed to pronounce
it.
Wow,
I thought that was 2000s for sure.
But this is a beautiful, beautiful song. Shout out to Life Aquatic for using it.
I saw them on their first American tour, because I discovered them via the new artist section on Audio Galaxy, a file sharing site that was popular in the very late 90s.
You know what I had noticed about this? I don't even make sense that I've... have obviously most of my music knowledge from video games. Mance seems to have most of his from movies starring Bill Murray. Lost in Translation. Sure. Lost in Translation. Life Aquatic.
Caddyshack. I knew this. I knew this song.
Ghostbusters.
I knew this song before.
Does anybody have the Life Aquatic song on this on list?
Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good.
What were you saying? Good actual point to make.
I didn't hear this song through Life Aquatic, but they happen to use it in a really Bustin'
Makes Me Feel Good.
Bob's number 25. A band I've never heard of that feels, in this era, not okay. Tall Dwarves.
Tall Dwarves.
The brain Anybody? That wouldn't die.
Anybody? Mm-hmm. No? I forget this guy's name, but he was one of those... He's, like, big in that Elephant Six group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it Ray Parker?
Ray Parker Jr.?
No. That's the Ghostbusters guy, right? Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good.
Tall Dwarves.
I forget what happened to this guy. Something happened to him. But he needed a lot of... medical help not that long ago, and so a bunch of artists that I really like John Darnielle and Jeff Mangum and Elf Power and those guys put together a compilation CD of cover songs of his stuff to raise money for him, and so that's how I discovered Tall Dwarves.
Cool.
They're a good band. This song rules. I mean, just listen to it. It sounds awesome, doesn't it?
Yeah. The
next song on your list, Bob, is one that I am sort of a little surprised that is only the only time that we have on this list at all. Sonic Youth. Youth Against Fascism.
Yeah. Black Robes and Swill. I Believe Anita Hill. That Judge Can Rot in Hell. Feels, I don't know, appropriate
for
the world. I remember wishing that Bernie Sanders would have used this as his, like, campaign song. But obviously that can't...
Maybe Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, well, he calls Thurston Moore refers to the president as a war pig fuck in this song, so maybe he can. Yeah.
This is not the last time we'll see this band, but
thank God!
Another iteration, Blur, You're So Great.
This is I don't know. This song makes me feel all the love in the world. It's like
go up after you saw him?
But Bob,
does
Bustin' make you feel good?
Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good. This song is it was number 40 or 50 or something like that, and then I saw Graham Coxon live and he played this song and it was just like, I don't know, I love this. Is basically a Graham Coxon solo song, even though it's on a Blur album, but it's beautiful. You're So Great and I Love You, how can you especially, like, because it's also a song about, like, being sad and shit. So it's about, like, finding someone that can make you not feel shitty. And that's a beautiful sentiment, and it's one of the great Blur songs, even though it's essentially a Graham Coxon solo track.
Yep.
Yeah, next up.
I wonder if you have any more Ween on your list. Because I would feel, like, I feel like there may be...
I'm going to give a firm maybe to that. Next one is maybe my favorite song by the most popular artist... on this list, continuing to fill out this album first off, Purple Rain. Let's go crazy.
Talk about opening salvo.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also just a song that you can fucking dance to, man. How do you...
Or dancing fuck to.
Or dancing fuck to.
Yep.
All dancing is fucking. Wait, that...
It is, kind of, in a way.
Well, yeah, but...
The other way around, too.
All fucking is dancing.
That, too.
No, you've never seen me fuck. It's very arrhythmic.
And atonal.
But yeah, this one is great. I'm surprised that there's obviously a lot of Purple Rain on all your lists, but I haven't seen any 1999.
Yeah, what?
That's got some of the funkier, deeper stuff, and then we got a lot off this album, but nothing off 1999.
Yeah, I like after Purple Rain, I think I like Parade.
Dirty Minds is my... Album.
Yeah.
And the last one, this is one that is close to our hearts for all the wrong reasons, guys. This draft, what band plagued our draft this year more than anything else?
The Pogues?
Yeah.
Fairy Tale of New York, The Pogues.
Oh, Bob.
Is this my first and only Christmas song on the list?
So far, yeah.
I mean,
so far. Because I didn't put All I Want for Christmas Is You on there. But this song breaks my heart, man. I could have been someone. Well, so could anyone. It's about putting your dreams with someone and then, like, having those dreams die because you couldn't, like...
It's very Christmas.
Because you could have achieved them... Like, you think that you could have achieved your dreams solo, but, like, you tried to achieve them together and so neither of you achieved anything. That's, like, terrifying. For a Christmas song.
It's terrifying for an any song.
Yeah, but this song is beautiful, I think.
Yeah. Because they still love each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Christy McCall, right? That's her name? The girl singing on this?
I don't know.
I think that's her name. Yeah, man, this is... This was one of my last-minute edits, because I realized that I had forgotten it, and it's one of my favorite songs. Yeah.
Breaking into Matt's top 25. You heard a little bit before, but I couldn't pause in time. I don't think it was recorded, though. Metallica, Master of Puppets.
Yeah. Just listen to this shit so much, and, you know, it's kind of like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's just like the one.
How so?
It's got all different kind of parts. It's the most bombastic one. It's the one people probably like scat guitar to the most. I don't know what else to say. This is just it.
I'm not that much up on my Metallica. I don't know Metallica as well as I should, maybe. But is this before or after Cliff?
This is Cliff.
This is Cliff? Okay.
This is Master of Puppets. This is his last one. I guess the bus rolled over him when they were touring for this album.
Yeah, it was Kill 'Em All and then this, right?
Ride the Lightning.
And then this, right.
Yeah, and then...
And Justice.
The first one is Justice.
Yeah.
You can't hear him at all.
Right.
Just fucking didn't plug him in.
Excellent.
Next up, back to this guy, Tom Petty, You Wrecked Me.
Yeah, man. So this song. Fucking song... Like, I didn't know... Like, I loved Tom Petty my whole childhood. You know, loved it. And this song I only heard kind of recently... from that band that I love, Wussy. They mentioned that this is the song they play when they just need to remember how to like play a rock and roll song. This guy from the band wrote a really good post obituary of Tom Petty and how like it influenced them and what different musical strains they like get into, but how he's just like has the ability to write the perfect succinct fucking melody and like message song and just like crank it out like while he's just like standing in like it's the ultimate bar song.
Yeah.
Like this is a fucking bar band song, but it's just a piece of fucking like beautiful rock and roll. It's awesome.
I don't think I know this song at all. I don't know that I've ever heard this song before in my life.
Oh man,
it's just fucking straight ahead.
I think like Tom Petty is just like a huge blind spot for me.
Yeah, we all have them. I have a lot.
Like I don't know like how you guys feel about Bruce Springsteen, but like I can't get into Bruce Springsteen, no matter how many fucking times I try, just from hearing every song played by every shitty bar band ever. And like for some reason I get the sense that what people love about Bruce Springsteen is like that it sounds like this to them. Where they're just like, yeah, fucking that's it, man, Bruce song. That's my paint in the house music. But I just don't see. I see it for this fucking song specifically. I fucking love it.
Well, I might see it for the next song, which I'm so glad that somebody put on there. Is Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Another one that passed that car test.
Yeah.
Flying colors.
Very close to this very
fucking
close to
song.
Making it to my list. Didn't make it.
This fucking song rules. And what also is funny, it's another one where Lisa's like, I hate that song. And
I don't like Lisa.
I was like, yeah, but like. Like, I can see how it's, again, the Smells Like Teen Spirit thing. She's like, yeah, but especially as a female. She's like, do you understand, like, every time I ever went to, like, a softball game or, like, any kind of sporting thing for, like, my team, they fucking played this song all the time, like, at every time. She's just like, we don't want to have, we're going to fucking play sport. Like, it was kind of like a Sweet Caroline, like, thing where you're just like, fuck you for fucking this song up for me. And, like, I don't have that because I grew up as a boy. And
that's all men, let's take it back. This is our song now.
Yeah, that's how I feel. But, like, having two daughters, too, I'm just like, I think Cyndi Lauper is a fucking, like, awesome singer from the interviews I've seen with her and even from, like, the way she writes her music. Like, she seems super fun. Mm-hmm. And, again, like, very optimistic and just, fucking, like, push a guy over and then, like, you know, just fucking take no shit. And she seems like a tough... fun person, and like, I hope my kids can be tough and fun like Cyndi Lauper.
I almost put Time After Time on my list. Different Cyndi
Lauper. What about True Colors? True Colors, anybody?
That's also a great song.
What about this song's cool? This song sounds really 80s.
This song is great.
Really cool way, too.
This is also, you know, how much I love the David Ehrlich year-end videos. He used this song a couple years ago.
Fury Road, right?
Fury Road and Magic Mike XXL, and just like, it was perfect. It just so good for whatever. Next up, the one and only appearance on this list, Fugazi, Waiting Room.
Wow.
I'm So Tired was almost on my list, which is not like a Fugazi song.
I know, it's right, like, yeah.
But I love that song so much.
Me too. Yeah, this is just another just unimpeachable classic. I can't think about being like a teenager driving around in my Volvo in the summer and not listening to this song.
I wonder if you also listen to the next one, which is, again, continuing to fill out this album. Another not duplicate off Appetite.
I mean, Sweet Child unimpeachable.
What the fuck are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
Same situation. Heard it a million times. But, I mean, it's just, it's they're just, it's such a tightly crafted song.
It's also, like, that riff. Something that I love about this song is that it is pretty late in the album. Like, is it like the seventh? It's the ninth song, I think.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, it's a love song, and it's so much sweeter than everything that comes before it. So you have all of these songs, like, it doesn't seem like the same band that wrote It's So Easy, lyrically. Like, it doesn't seem like those visions would be possible from the same person. It's such a sweet song.
Yeah.
Oh, here at the end of our fourth episode, I do have a correction to make. Because of the way that we not really correction, but because of the way that we typed it, the most popular, not really a surprise, most popular artist on these lists is R.E.M., not Prince. 10 different R.E.M. instances.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like your surprise.
It should be no surprise.
How did that happen?
The last 6 hours didn't bear that one out.
R.E.M. and Chris Cornell. All right, we'll be back next time, next episode for the final top 20.
Where's GNR in that list, though?
I gotta check.
You had something off of it.
GNR has, I believe, five different songs, five total, five different ones. And I think there's four off this, and then there's November Rain, so.
And My World.